Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our first part of our morning show, as we kick off a busy week here on WRCO Radio, we're going to talk about an upcoming event sponsored by the United Church of Muscadet Presbyterian. And representing that congregation today is an elder, Cindy Bremer, along with our good friends Wendell Smith and Kurt Heise. They're here to talk about some things going on concerning the church as well. But Cindy, we'll start with you. So you drew the short straw.
But, okay.
Thanks for coming over to the morning show studios
today. Thank you.
It's an impressive thing that you guys do each and every year. Can you talk about the upcoming Thanksgiving festivities?
Well, our upcoming Thanksgiving dinner is we're going to start at 11 o'clock in the morning on Thanksgiving Day. We have, it's a community Thanksgiving dinner, so the whole community is involved in it, and they can volunteer to help, or they can volunteer to bring food for the Thanksgiving dinner, pies, whatever. And so it's been going on for quite a few years, our Thanksgiving dinner. I did it before COVID, and then we haven't done it since COVID. It started in 1993. Excuse me. Started in 1993. Was the first Thanksgiving dinner, and then we didn't have anything during COVID, and now we're just starting it up again.
This is the first one back since 2020, yes. Then. Wow, that's good, and that's impressive. So very good that your church does that. Why do you think it's important to be a part of this, Cindy?
Community. Keep the community together. And oh, man, got a frog. To keep the community together and to keep our church together, we want to be recognized in the town as a church that, you know, we're open to everybody. We want everybody to be able to come in and join us. And, you know, small town communities and small churches are not doing real well right now. And a lot of them are closing. We don't want to close. So we're coming up with new things that we can do or things that we've done in the past that we want to continue with. Some of the new things we've done is we started a prayer meeting. We also have a prayer tree that you can put a slip of paper in our box and ask for prayers for a certain person, and we'll hang ribbons on the tree. And we've started that, and we have, and the Thanksgiving dinner now coming back. Our coffee and conversations are coming back. So we're working on keeping our church together and having this Thanksgiving dinner and having the whole community be involved in this. Is what we're happy that this is happening.
The food, you mentioned people can make it at home then, and then they bring it into the church? Is that how it
works? Yes. Or if we have people volunteering bags of potatoes, bring them in. We have two guys that love to peel potatoes, so they'll peel potatoes for us. And, you know, we'll cook them there. If somebody cannot cook their turkey, they need to bring it into the church early so we can get it and get it cooked before that. And you know, people bring in pies that day, or you can bring them in early. I will be at the church on Wednesday afternoon, evening, and Thursday morning I'll be there early. So anytime anybody wants to drop stuff off, I'll be there, you know, so.
What were the numbers like before COVID when you put this on? Do you remember how many dinners you served typically?
When I did it before, we had between 120 and 140 people. So far, we're pushing about 60 now with the reservations, so, and the people from church. So, reservations are definitely needed so we don't run out of turkey, and we have quite a selective menu, you know, people bringing in different things. And so, you know, we're going to have ham, and so people can buy ham and bring it in. We'll cook it, or they can cook it themselves. The same with the turkey, the dressing. Yours truly is making the dressing.
All right.
So
Is there a secret recipe, or is it a family recipe?
Family recipe. Comes out of a box.
Well, it's all good. So if people are thinking about helping out with food, they probably need to reserve that, too, or let you know what they're bringing, too.
Yes, yes. So my phone number is 608-604-5005. So it's really easy to remember, and just give me a call. If I don't answer, leave a message. So
we hope a lot of people will. Let's turn over to the other side of the room here, and Kurt Heise. Kurt, are you one of the head potato peelers then, or how does that work?
I know how to run a potato peeler, yeah, and that's about it. So I can do that, sure.
They put you to work behind the scenes then?
Home or there, it doesn't matter.
Either or.
Yes.
How long have you been a member of United Church of Muscadet Presbyterian?
Since about 1964.
Why? My goodness.
68, I guess.
Uh-huh.
68, I came to Muscadet.
So you're not a resident originally, and you weren't a resident of Wisconsin. Where'd you come from originally?
Originally from North Dakota.
Okay. So, and you've settled in. Looks like you're going to be accepted in the community.
Well, I was a school teacher and had the idea that they need school teachers any place so I can move around. And once I hit Muscadet, I decided there wasn't a better place.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Been there ever since.
Yeah, it's worked out well for you.
Very well.
Are you excited to see the Thanksgiving dinner come back?
Yes. The chance to visit with people, because so many of the people know me, but I don't know them. The memory doesn't work as well, but when they greet me, instead of being a student, they're standing there with their grandchild in their hand. So it's been quite an experience, and I appreciate every bit of it.
I think about the number of students that you taught. It would be very difficult to remember all of their names, I would think.
Well, I don't remember the names, but as soon as they give me their name, I can usually connect with them. And they compliment me on being a good teacher, and I remind them that I couldn't be a good teacher without having good students. And I said, that's why I was a good teacher, because of the students that I had instead.
Good legacy. Absolutely. I know you think this is important to not only bring your church members in, but to recognize the whole community, don't you?
Absolutely, because I work quite a few different places in the community with the Lions Club, the Legion, the food pantry. So it's a little community that all works together.
What's your favorite part of the dinner, by the way, your favorite food?
Turkey.
Turkey, okay. I always go with sweet potatoes. They're pretty good. You're going to have sweet potatoes too, aren't you, Cindy?
Possibly.
Okay, whoever brings it then. So maybe that's a hint for somebody to bring those along.
Yes.
Good deal. And Wendell is here as well. Wendell, we've seen you at probably 1,000 different ball games over the years.
Yeah, probably.
Good to have you in the studio with us.
Well, thank you.
Can you give us a little history of the church?
The church? Well, when I went back, they merged, that was something new. At least we were told that the first time that the Presbyterians and the Methodists went together to form a church in the state. And I don't know if
that's
true, but that's what we were told.
That's interesting.
So it was, unusual. And we started... I got it since Veterans Day. It's not very far in the past. I want to mention that. Our first minister as a new congregation was a man by the name of Carl Carlson. And I was a neighbor of his. It just turned out that way. And but he was an unusual man because of his background, I thought. He could talk to him for hours, but he was at Pearl Harbor when the attack was, and he decided that he'd rather be in the air than on the ground, so he transferred to the Air Force, and he flew 60 missions or whatever the missions were over Europe, was shot down once into the English Channel, and he just was full of stories, and that helped everybody get acquainted to him, you know. He was very outgoing, and he had all that interesting stuff to talk about. But so that's when we kind of got, when we did get started, and there were a lot of people, of course, involved in it. And there were some almost not hard feelings, but there were some things that had to be solved. You know, we had two buildings. So what do you do with two buildings? And besides having two buildings, we had two sets of pews, two organs, and all that. Everybody kind of liked the ones they had, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's hard to change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we got through it all without a fight of any kind, I think. And later we... Kurt probably knows what the specifics of. We were able to add on to the church with where the turkey will be served. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big help and a big deal. And
we call it a fellowship hall, which a lot of churches didn't have at the time. So it makes a good community room.
You bet. Do you recall the year, Kurt?
When that no, went? That I do not. Okay. I don't recall a lot of things, but that I do not. But yes, it was quite a project at the time.
Plenty of room for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Presbyterian Church was eventually demolished, and the Methodist Church, I looked up some, or tried to look up something and a few things, and it was the Methodist Church dated back to 1854, and the Presbyterian Church, they actually moved into the village and rebuilt there, and I don't know exactly when that was, but they were there. They've been part of the village for a long time, you know, and well, there have been some issues, some surprises we didn't need. One Sunday when we came to church, that sometime between the service before and the one we were at, the church ceiling had come down, fallen on the pews. Fortunately, it didn't happen during the service. There was nobody there.
My goodness.
But it just came crashing down on the pews.
Wow.
So, and then one of the things that helped, I think, was making the welcome place, but the pews went to the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian pews went to the Methodist Church, and at the Methodist Church they put in the congregational workers put in all new flooring and hardwood flooring, and that was a big project before we started to meet in it. But it was one that both congregations were involved with. The Presbyterian building's been gone a while now, but there is a touch of it still in the village. There's their bell that used to ring in the church is standing in honor behind the local firehouse when you come in from Richland Center. It's there. That's the original church bell. So that's there.
Good memory. Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of good memories there. I've been thinking about this ever since, but I agreed, trying to think which organ we ended up with. But for the life of me, I can't remember which it was.
So you kept one and sold the other, then, I
suppose.
Presume.
Yeah, I don't really remember the details of that, but it's been a interesting journey for everybody, I think, and worked out for a lot of years.
How long have you been a member, Wendell?
Oh, well, let's see. Actually, the coming together was in 1964. And I was with the Methodist Church. We were, so we've been around a long time. But
that's unreal. up. Earlier this year, too, I think there was, we're getting off the subject a little bit, but there was a trivia question that we had that you were actually on a state championship basketball team.
Well.
Is that correct?
Not quite.
Oh.
we wanted to be. we were on a tiny school in Nebraska, and we had 13 boys in high school, and we went to the state tournaments in the small school division, and we won our first game, and then the next night we lost to the team that had been the champion in that class the years before. But it was a great experience. I have a framed picture of my high school team sitting on my computer and still look at it.
That's awesome.
The sad part of it is there's nobody else but me left to look at it. Oh. As far as the team is concerned. It's the that was 1954. So
that had to encourage you, though, because, I mean, you've been at thousands of basketball games since that time, but your love of sports grew back in Nebraska, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had I don't know how much you want to travel to the side, but we had a very small school and a gym that was used. It had been a dance hall and was converted, but we used it to play basketball. And it was the same as all of them were in those days. There were a lot of them had a low ceiling and short floor. And usually the entranceway was right under one basket or the other, and that's where they people coming in stomped their feet. So you always had wet floors.
Slipping around.
Slipping around.
Yeah.
It was kind of, we had one of our players, we had one player who went on to play college basketball in not the university, but one of the state teachers' colleges. And he was about 6'1". In those days, that was tall.
Sure.
Now, you know.
You're a point guard now. That's at the college level.
But it was quite an adventure. And we, when we went to state, the whole village practically went with us. It just practically locked up. And because the team we played with, the big game was we played a neighboring, it was Sacred Heart. It was a Catholic school, and they were played with the public schools, but they were much larger than we were. And that was the most thrilling thing was when we managed to win to go to state with a few kids. Part of the reason we went to state was because we played all the time. The old building that we played in, every kid in town knew how to get in it to make buckets. They just could use their jackknife and open the lock and go in and play.
Not much for security.
And one of my favorite stories is, and the World War was going then, and there was a shortage. And there was a minister from a neighboring town that had taken over a teacher's job just because of the shortage, and he told my dad about coming to town one Saturday morning, and he was going over to the gym to check around to see if it was something they needed or something, whatever, I don't know. But then when he went in, he said there was not a soul to be seen, but there was a basketball rolling down the floor. The kids had all saw him, and they'd all gone out the back door.
Quick exit.
So that was kind of small town stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like Hoosiers, which was in Indiana in that movie. So good stuff. Great memory. Thanks for your memories this morning, too.
You're welcome.
By the way, back on track, certainly we look forward to the upcoming event. Kurt, we hope we can get the word out there and rise up some business for you guys.
Yes, that would be appreciated very much.
Your church, you know, you continue to stay about the same? Are you getting some new members from time to time?
That's what we'd like to see. Our membership has been declining, and the age of the members that are there has been going up. So it's the wrong way around. We just as soon have it the other way, too. So we're like a lot of the other churches around. We're concerned about membership. We certainly would welcome new members. We appreciate what we have, and we try to keep going on that. And the ones we have are very active and very supportive. So.
Well, and then events like this are things hopefully that can, you know, maybe stir up some business for them.
That's what we're hoping for, yes, and show them that we're still there and we're able to do this, or we better say we think we're able to do this. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see Friday morning how that turns out.
You guys will rest well, because I think it's a lot of work to put
in. Oh, yes, and our head lady has been doing very well keeping everything organized and going, so...
And we understand that she's got some schooling to finish up, is that
right? Oh, yes, and doing quite well at that also.
So, Cindy, congratulations. Tell us about that. Then you'll soon be the official pastor then, is that correct?
Well, I'm not sure. It depends on presbytery, and, you know, they have the right, presbytery has the right to place us anywhere. It will also depend on our session, if they want to hire me or not. So, yeah, I have 3 weeks left right now. I'm studying preaching, and I have been doing this for 2 years, and I do it all online. But I have been at the seminary in Dubuque several times for classes and seminars, and so it's really interesting. I'm learning a lot. I admit I don't know everything, and I probably never will, but what I have learned and what I've read in the Bible and been explained things, it's amazing. It's just amazing. You never realize how much stuff goes on in this world right now that happened back then, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the wars and the, you know, it's a continuous battle. But I really enjoy it, and I don't mind getting up in front of the people preaching and I haven't heard any bad things about it, so I guess I'm doing all right.
Did you have a moment where you kind of had the call to extend this, or has it been something that's been, you know?
Yes, I did have a moment. I had breast cancer like 16, 17 years ago, and I kind of thought about it then. But then like 4 years ago, I had lung cancer. And I had part of my lung removed, and I really did not think I was going to come out of that hospital. And when I got home, my husband and I did a lot of praying. I was in a lot of pain, but it just kind of clicked. You know, we need some help in our church, and I think I'm the person that can do it.
Boy, yeah, so, because you've been there a lot of times, especially if you're consoling somebody that's going through some sort of treatment.
I do home visits now, even. Mm-hmm. I go out and visit shut-ins, and, you know, I do quite a bit of preaching, at least once a month, maybe sometimes twice, so, yeah.
So no guarantee you'll wind up back in Muscadet, but you'd like to be there.
Though. Yes, yes, I'm got my fingers crossed, and I'm thinking that's probably where we'll end up.
Oh, that's awesome. Again, maybe give your numbers and how this is going to work for your upcoming Thanksgiving meal.
So we would like reservations in by this Friday, the 22nd, simply because we need to know how many people are going to be there so we don't run out of food. And my phone number is 608-604-5005, and you can call me anytime. If I don't answer, please leave a message. You don't even have to leave your name if you don't want to. Your first name is fine, and how many people you're bringing with. If you want to volunteer some food, just let me know, call me, and we'll meet at the church where you can drop it off. So oh, I hope we see you all there.
We hope a lot of people will sign up for that. What about the upcoming Christmas season then? Do you do anything special during that season, Cindy?
Yes, I have in the past. I've preached the candlelight service, and I've done the Christmas Day service and Sunday service. And we've also had in the past, we've had the barn service. That kind of went down the hill because of you know, where do you find a barn, you know? Mm-hmm. But I haven't planned anything yet for this Christmas, but, you know, it could be in the works. We may do something different. I'm looking to increase the things that we do in the church, as a community, to involve the community, you know, Christmas caroling, whatever we decide to do. We want it to be a community event, not just from our church.
Wonderful to have you in here today, Cindy.
Thank you.
Good luck with your event.
Thank you.
We know it'll go well. Wendell, thanks for your remembrances, too. Always good to talk trivia with you.
Thank you.
In history.
Thank you.
And Kurt, thanks for coming in today, too.
Not a problem at all.
Good luck, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you as well.
Thank you.
Wendell Smith, Kurt Heise, Cindy Bremer, representing United Church of Muscadet Presbyterian. Welcome back to our morning show studios. Today we have another friend that has stopped by. J.B. Muller is here, representing Salvation Army in the upcoming Red Kettle campaign. Jay, it's that time of year again.
Yes, it's that time of year. It seemed to go fast. Before you know it, it's right here. Of course, the preparation and the winding up, it takes probably about 3 months when we start to when we finish in January, getting all the books done and stuff like that. So it's quite a project.
When do you start ringing then?
We start ringing Black Friday at Walmart, both doors, and we'll be ringing every Friday and Saturday through December, which would be the 6th, 7th, the 13th, the 14th, the 20th, the 21st, and this year we're going to extend it into the 23rd on Monday, just before Christmas. And also to the folks down at Walsh's Ace Hardware, they'll be hosting, the veterans will be ringing for Salvation Army, and they'll be down at Walsh's on Friday and 6th and 7th of December. So that's the dates, and we usually run from 10 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night.
Tell me about if someone is interested in being a part of this. Well, can they just pick an hour, or how does
well,
it
you can either bring an hour, or you can take 2 hours, as much as you want and stuff. This year, we're concentrating on Saturdays for the 4-H groups, but we'll take anybody. 4-H group, Honor Society, Key Club, different organizations such as that. But, yeah, you can ring just 1 hour, or you can ring two, or whatever you want.
A lot of times, the weather, you have no control over that. There's some days where it's a piece of cake out there, and other days where it's a little chilly.
Last year, it was real good to start out with, then it kind of ended up, of course, where Walmart's at, the wind's always blowing there constantly all the time. Always thought maybe it'd be nice if they would have built it over back where Phil back for it is, but that's not to be. And we have a trait in this county that other counties don't have. The stations are heated. I have little foot warmers and heaters by each station so that you can warm up. If you're ringing by yourself, you know, that helps you keep warm and stuff. And if you're ringing with two people, instead of standing on the weather, you can have one go inside. You can't ring inside, but they can go inside and warm up.
I think some people are a little bit unique in their presentation. I've gone by, and some people are singing carols.
One gentleman, Mr. Mike Burns. I don't know if he's getting up there in years and stuff, but he always usually brings his tambourine and the guy who plays guitar. And bless their hearts, the thing about it is that when their time is up, they want to do one more song or one more song. I just let them go at it because what they'll do is they'll put out candy canes for the kids and stuff and really kind of make it a festive, and people really enjoy that. Matter of fact, one day I was at the other end when they were putting on their performances, and the kid stuck his head out the door of a truck and said, "Why aren't you singing?" I said, "Well, jingle bells," you know, so they gave me a couple bucks to quit. So that's as far as my career went.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Since 1988, Kinship of Richland County has been matching caring adults with area children ages 5 through 17 who need a little more TLC than they normally receive. After careful screening, volunteers agree to spend at least 1 hour per week for a year with kids who have similar interests. They do things like fishing, baking, and bowling, but the main benefit is the time they spend together. Mentors listen and offer encouragement to help the child discover their own path to a fulfilling future. All that's required is a commitment of time and sincerity. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a volunteer or referring a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Monetary donations are also welcome and can be mailed to Kinship, P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. All gifts are tax deductible and greatly appreciated.
Flat rate commercial IT support, PC repair, security camera systems, telephone systems, and cutting-edge audio and video solutions. For reliable, comprehensive protection and tech services, choose Total Tech. Visit them at TotalTechWI.com or call 608-375-3315. When it comes to protecting your business, trust the experts at Total Tech. Again, online at TotalTechWI.com or call 608-375-3315. Total Tech, protecting your business in Southwest Wisconsin and Northeast Iowa.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time today is sponsored by Court & Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast calls for falling temperatures today. Sprinkles or drizzle possible for a time, and then south to southwest winds could be between 10 and 20 later today. Variable clouds and cooler tonight, and 33. 33 one-hundredths of an inch since midnight, all total 1.35 in the rain gauge since yesterday. It is 52 degrees.
From November 20th through December 3rd, Court & Main and A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet are offering 36 months of equal payments with no interest on qualified purchases when you use your Synchrony Home Card. For this limited time, make your purchase with affordable monthly installments over 3 years with no interest if paid in full within 36 months. Please note, a 2% promotional charge will be applied by the credit card company. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet and Court & Main.
I'm Phil Nee with a look at WRCO, WRCE News. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears oral arguments on the continued employment of Wisconsin's elections administrator. Justices seemed skeptical of a challenge by state Senate Republicans over Election Commission Administrator Megan Wolf's continued placement. Wolf has remained in place at the commission based on a ruling by the court 2 years ago by a then-conservative majority that political appointees do not need to step down until their replaced by the Senate. The commission declined sending a recommendation for a new administrator a year and a half ago when Republicans wanted to oust Wolf from her post. The boyfriend of Elijah Vu's mother is pleading not guilty in the boy's death. 3-year-old Elijah was the subject of a months-long search in and around Two Rivers that began when he went missing in February and ended when his remains were found in September. Jesse Vang, and responsible for Elijah's care when he was reported missing, and he is charged with repeated physical abuse of a child causing death and hiding a corpse. Vang and his attorney appeared via Zoom at his arraignment hearing in Manitowoc County Court. He's due back in court in March. Elijah's mother, Katrina Bauer, is also charged in the death. With winter right around the corner, $101 million in federal funding is going to Wisconsin's low-income home energy assistance program. It provides households with energy crisis assistance to help heat their homes. Funds can also be used to weatherize homes to make them more energy efficient and during disasters and extreme weather to mitigate energy emergencies. If you are interested in applying for help through the program, you can visit energyhelp.us. Operation Christmas Child, a project of Samaritan's Purse, seeks to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way to children in need around the world and together with a local church worldwide to share the good news. Since 1993, Operation Christmas Child has collected and delivered more than 220 million gift-filled shoeboxes to children in more than 170 countries and territories. And also, the supplies have been dropped off through the the years. Last year, about 866 boxes were dropped off at the Grace Community Church in Richland Center that area churches and individuals had collected. Grace Community Church is once again serving as a drop-off point this week. Shoeboxes can be dropped off again tonight from 5 until 7, Wednesday and Thursday from noon to 2, Friday from 5 until 7, Saturday from 10 to noon, and Sunday from noon until 2. If you would like to make a donation to Operation Christmas Child's Christmas Shoebox Program, boxes are available in the entryway of Grace Community Church. The door is not locked, so you can pick up a box at any time and return it this week during the drop-off hours. Boxes delivered to Grace Community Church will then be taken to a Madison drop-off point before being taken to Chicago to be inspected and sent on their way. Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde has conceded defeat in the race, narrowly won by Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin, saying he will not pursue a recount. Hovde could have requested a recount because his margin of defeat was less than one percentage point at about 29,000 votes. But Hovde said yesterday that he would not do that. Hovde would have had to pay for a recount himself. Baldwin declared victory after the Associated Press called the race for her on November 6th, the day after the election. She outperformed Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin, who lost Wisconsin by about as many votes as Baldwin defeated Hovde. This is International Education Week. It's about expanding horizons, making connections, and establishing mutual understanding between people in the United States and other countries. It is an opportunity to celebrate the benefits of international education and exchange worldwide. You are invited to attend a local International Education Week event. The exchange students at Richland Center High School will host International Night on Thursday night, beginning at 6 in the West Commons and large group instruction room. Meet the international students, sample some traditional foods, and learn about their countries and cultures. The event is free and open to all. The Department of Justice says 55,493 pounds of unwanted medications were collected in the drug take-back recently. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin leads the nation in drug take-back because of strong partnerships and continued commitment from Wisconsinites to make sure medications are safely disposed of. Since drug take-back days started in 2010, Wisconsin has collected more than 1.3 million pounds of unwanted medications. While drug take-back technically happens twice a year, you can dispose of unwanted medications any day at one of the more than 500 permanent disposal boxes across the state of Wisconsin.
No need to travel for exceptional care. At Gunderson Boscobel, we collaborate with other providers and healthcare systems to deliver safe, effective treatment plans close to home. Whether you need specialized IV medications such as chemotherapy or antibiotic therapy, port or PICC maintenance, or blood product transfusions, we make it easier to get the personalized care you need. Gunderson Boscobel, bringing love plus medicine and outpatient nursing services to you.
Temperature is dropping already this morning. We've had some light rain. South to southwest winds will pick up to between 10 and 20 later today. For tonight, variable clouds and colder, a low of 33. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, breezy and cool. Spotty light rain and snow showers again by late morning tomorrow, a high of 42. Thursday, 41, with spotty light rain and snow showers possible. Friday, mostly cloudy and a bit breezy, 42. And for the opening of deer season on Saturday, breaks of sun with lighter winds and a high that day of 42 degrees. Rain's been in the picture since early afternoon here at the WRCO studios. Since midnight, we have picked up 33 one-hundredths of an inch, all total an inch and 35 one-hundredths since yesterday. We have a west-northwest wind that has picked up to 10 miles per hour. Our temp has dropped from earlier this morning, a 57 high. Right now, it is 52 degrees.
Attention auto mechanics. TC Auto Works in Richland Center is continuing to grow, and they need you. They are hiring an automotive technician with 3 years of experience preferred and a strong work history. Enjoy highly competitive pay and a full-service automotive repair facility with a fun, low-stress, family-owned atmosphere. Along with competitive pay, you will be eligible for a large package of benefits including retirement plans, paid vacation, much, much more. Call 383-1700 or pick up an application at TC Autoworks, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
Sports Time this morning is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Our first high school events for winter sports will get underway at some schools tonight. Details on a close win for both the Bucks and the Badgers as well.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
High school girls basketball gets underway tonight with a few scheduled games, including Highland at Richland Center. First-year head coach Jeremy Cooey talked about how the team looked at its recent scrimmage.
We're starting to get things to come together. We've had a whole 5 days to practice and introduce a whole new program, a whole new offense and defense. So with Saturday being the first test, it was kind of exciting to see, things starting to come together, and really optimistic about, the things to come.
Highland head coach Josh Terrell talked about their scrimmage.
We went down to Wazika on Saturday morning, and we got the scrimmage against Wazika and Boscobel. So, yeah, we got a nice scrimmage in on Saturday.
Well, that's good. And how did the team look?
It's that first chance to play someone other than yourself, so we look good at some things and some things we definitely need to touch up. So typical scrimmage, you find out where your biggest weaknesses are that you need to work on, and always nice to see some good things too.
Highland and Richland Center girls basketball can be heard on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com this evening. Vitesnik Power Sports pregame show begins at around 7:15. Elsewhere, River Valley starts out at Lodi this season. First game for Mineral Point at Lancaster and Darlington at Scholesburg. It's Dodgeville at Evansville as well. And also tonight, Seneca opens up at Cashton, Iowa Grant at Argyle Pecatonica, and Platteville at Barneveld. Also locally, it's Riverdale hosting Ithaca. First tip time tonight at 7 o'clock. No JV action tonight. Ithaca at Riverdale varsity this evening. On the state scene, John Blackwell scored a career-high 30 points as he and the Badgers avoided an upset loss to UT Rio Grande Valley at home last night. It was a big chance for the Badgers to come back and win 87-84. Blackwell's two clutch free throws with 2 seconds left helped seal the victory. John Tanya added 19 points after lighting Arizona up with 41 on Friday night. Max Klesmith says the team just held each other accountable.
I think we're all kind of pretty hard on each other in the halftime locker room, just when it's the players in there waiting for the coaches, in a good way though, not kind of like getting after each other, but just, talking about what we have to improve on. But there wasn't anything really specific that was said in that huddle. I think we kind of all knew the issue that had just kind of happened and how we had to fix it. So
the Badgers with the victory last night. They will move on to Central Florida Friday in the first round of the Greenbrier Tip-Off Tournament. Damian Lillard drove to the bucket with a game-winning layup to give the Bucks a 101-100 win over the Houston Rockets last night. Lillard had missed several games with a concussion. His heroics came after Milwaukee had blown a 14-point lead held in the third period. Giannis Antetokounmpo says the team continues to improve.
I think we're playing good basketball. Today a little bit, the balls stick a little bit, but at the end of the day, in the third quarter, we got to do a better job executing, taking care of the ball. In the fourth quarter, still wasn't able to get the shots that we wanted as much, but the other way, defensively, we got stopped, so was able to, get back to the game. Even though they went up five, was able to get back to the game and finish it at the end.
The Bucks host the Chicago Bulls coming up on Wednesday. The Wisconsin Badger football team could still make a bowl game despite the current three-game losing streak. Coach Luke Fickell's crew has a 5-5 record with games at Nebraska and then at home against Minnesota remaining. Minnesota was the only BCS football program placed in a bowl game last season despite putting up fewer than 6 wins. The Badgers have played in the postseason for 22 years in a row. And last night in the Monday night game, Joe Mixon ran for 3 touchdowns. Derek Barnett returned a fumble 28 yards for a score. And the Houston Texans beat the Dallas Cowboys 34-10. In a season filled with things gone wrong for the Cowboys, debris fell from their stadium's retractable roof as it was opening just a few hours before game time. But the game went on without a hitch. That's an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee. Why should you join Simon's Recreation Complex? It's not about their modern equipment or great exercise classes or even the comfy swimming pool. It's about how you can get the best out of your 50-plus body now and for the rest of your life.
That sounds like a great opportunity there.
Yeah.
Fundraiser for the future. Why do you get involved with Salvation Army, Jay?
Pardon?
Why do you get involved with this?
I retired. Uh-huh. And I think I was retired for about 15, 20 minutes when the phone rang. Kathy Ehorn was running it, and then she turned it all over to me. It's just a campaign that I like. I like Salvation Army because of the way they operate. I like the idea that the money collected from November to the end of December stays right in Richland County. Their operating budget is 82 to 85% of your dollar stays here. The rest of it for administrative costs and stuff like that. But the unique thing about Salvation Army, I not only solicit funds coming in, I also see where it goes and what good it does.
Okay. And so what are some examples of
examples is get behind an electrical bill or utilities. We help with that. Gift cards for gas, gift cards for sometimes to help with maybe a month's rent if you're down, or else a down payment to get into a house. So it broadens all over the area. And another thing, too, is that I started a charity out of St. Barnabas called the Bridge of Hope. So I actually store stuff down there, but also store extra blankets and stuff for people that may have a fire emergency. The thing about it is this year, all of them are stretched in because of Florida and the Carolinas. And what's unique about the Salvation Army is Red Cross, which is a great organization, they'll come in and they'll help people that are displaced by a disaster. Or Salvation Army will come in with mobile kitchens and help the ones that are helping the others. When we had our second 100-year flood in Richland Center, I was actually the head of emergency systems for the city of Richland Center, and we had what was called a control room, which is in the courthouse basement, where we dictated where everybody's go, sandbags or what have you. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, this gentleman's handing out sandwiches, coffee, water and stuff. And here it was a mobile kitchen that Salvation Army had to take care of the volunteers or the people that are helping the other people. So it was really, a lot of people don't know that, but people that volunteer in these disasters also need some type of relief, and Salvation Army supplies that.
So if someone comes in from the outside in a case like that?
Yes. Yeah. But we actually, we've helped with, like, people who lost everything in their fires for the homes. We help partnership with Red Cross to get vouchers for maybe motel rooms so they can stay there, or food and stuff, other stuff that they need until they can get back on their feet and get into another house and stuff. We've done that several times, so we're always ready to help people that are in a time of need. And the thing about it is, what I noticed a lot of it is that a lot of cases that we get when I help out or Christy helps out is that what happens is that they might get sick and they can't work. I've seen cases where we help them out for a certain amount of time and then they get back on their feet and then they're fine. And usually they like to give a little something back to Salvation Army. But there are cases after cases of that where they are helping people, but they're not too vocal about, you know, we're just here. And what I do is when somebody calls me that wants wants help, I can normally petition Salvation Army directly through email to get them help, because if you call a number, it sometimes goes to an answering machine and it takes a little bit to get to. And sometimes these situations are need to be immediately addressed. So I broker with them and I go ahead and get a hold of Salvation Army and see what we can do for these people.
That was my next question, too. How are you aware of it? If somebody doesn't call you, or do law enforcement, do they call you sometimes, or how do you know?
Well, actually, what happens is that I'm in close contact with ADRC and Social Services, so I'll get calls from caseworkers there. And what they'll do is they'll give me an instant. Everything is confidentiality. They'll give me somebody that might be in need of something, and then they give me their phone number, and I call them directly, and I talk to them and see exactly what agencies in Richland Center can help them, whatever kind of situation they're in. And the thing about it is a lot of these agencies were specific to Richland County. We don't usually do other counties when it comes to these agencies, but we do have resources. We're like Sauk County, Vernon County, and Grant County, where you can contact your local county to get help and stuff. But normally I get calls right from the phone through Bridge of Hope, and then I can direct them from there, or the ADRC, or sometimes word of mouth. I've gotten references or referrals from Richland Center High School on some families, and normally we can help them out and get them in a better place.
If there's a bad fire, I mean, right. Obviously you're aware of that as well.
Mm-hmm. With being right in town and stuff like that, I know exactly, like the one fire was on Main Street, that the house was completely destroyed. So I knew the house because I used to live there a long time ago. And I knew right then that, you know, we could help. So I stopped by and I see that the couple, they had one child and pets that got lost in the fire. But I see them outside. So I talked to them and we got arranged so that they could get into a motel. And Salvation Army along with Red Cross, we were able to get them back on their feet. Eventually they did find a house. So they are, that's been a couple of years ago. But that's the type of stuff that we do.
Bell ringing, it goes on all over the country, obviously. Yeah. Is it different here in the local area than it is?
The only thing that's different is that, and you get in the bigger cities, they got the uniforms on stuff. I don't have a uniform. It's called a parka. But the thing about it is the Red Kettle is a symbol all over the world of people to give. And it started out in a different state somewhere where this man wanted to feed 1,000 people, but he didn't know how to do that. So he set up a big cauldron and just had people bring in stuff like for stew and stuff like that. And he eventually fed 1,000 people, and that's where the kettles come up from. And so it's an international symbol. And as soon as you get that red kettle out, everybody knows right away that Salvation Army. And Richland County is unique because there's 9 counties in our district, 9 counties. We constantly, every year, come in the top 5. And we have a small resource to draw from. Some of these other towns have a couple Walmarts. They have several Quick Trips where we've only got several, but still we remain on the top 5 that bring in money for Salvation Army.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that if you donate to the Salvation Army, you can call my phone number, which is 608-647-3169. If you do donate and call me for a donation, the only thing you have to do is make sure on the check and the memo part, write Richland County. And that makes sure that it will go to Richland County. If it doesn't, it goes to the general disaster fund. But normally to this time of year, November and December, it stays in our county.
So many people don't carry cash anymore.
Well, we did fix that this year. Well, we're getting there. We have now, East Station will have a phone ID.
Oh, okay.
So you can donate on the phone. We haven't done that in the past, but now it's getting more prevalent. We have to kind of step up our game a little bit because a lot of phone numbers people change phone numbers all the time. Some are landlines that they don't answer their answer machine anymore, or some have passed away. So we've got to kind of step up by using the internet more and by using the phone to make donations right at the station. So right at, I call them stations, pods. So you can just put your phone out and you can donate to a certain amount, and that also remain in Richland County. They know just exactly what county that's coming from and stuff, so they can go ahead and apply it to our funds.
I'm presuming that you potentially could get bigger donations that way too, because
and the thing about it is I still go through all the coins, because there's been instances where coins have made it into the kettles that are not ordinary coins. They're actually worth more money than what the coin represents. So that's happened several times. And I get anonymous donations and stuff, which they do remain anonymous. And so we're kind of stepping up that game. Like all the high schools and stuff, like Richland Center High School and Ithaca High School, I'm starting to communicate more through the emails. So that way there I can get to them, tell them what days are open, what time slots are open, and we can communicate by then. And then I've got a record just exactly what dates are going to ring and stuff. So we're stepping into that part of it. And it's something that we have to progress if we're going to keep up with the times, because the need is getting greater every year with the economy the way it is, with inflation. It's catching people between a rock and a hard place. Matter of fact, I know that Jerry Bauer from the food pantry has been here, and their numbers have increased so to such an amount that they have to be careful what they get out. They're still giving out lots of food, but they're still, because every one of these charities, whether it be Bridge of Hope, be Salvation Army, whether it be the food pantry, we use this money this time of year to catalyst through the whole year round. So this is when we make our big drive. This is when people, you know, give the most. And the government actually has upped their percentage of how much you can deduct, because they've adjusted it for inflation. So a lot of these are tax deductible, where before it would be a little bit more restrictive when you do the flat rate type.
Yeah, Jerry Bauer was in, and not only are the numbers up, but the cost of food is
cost of food
too.
And I know I run a personal budget at home, because a lot of people are on fixed incomes. I'm on a fixed income. There are a lot of people I deal with are on a fixed income. So I ran myself a budget where I list everything that I spend during the month, during the weeks, and where's spent and how much. It's food. Food is the biggest item on there, because, of course, we own our house and cars and stuff like that, but it can really catch you in a squeeze. And the thing about it is when people have to apply for government programs, either to ADRC, it takes a while to get that ball rolling. We're talking Badger Care, we're talking Share Cards, or trying to get Social Security disability. It takes a lot of time. So some of these we can help with that gap, which helps people until they can get that benefit in, because it happens quite often.
I'm curious, you talked about accepting rare coins from time to time. Every year there's a story where maybe a diamond ring shows up in there. Have you ever heard anything
nothing like that? It's just that you don't know. You really don't. And the thing about it is that coins are becoming a little bit shy when it comes to donating, and it's mostly bills. And one thing that gets me, and I like to get children involved, because I think if you teach your children how to give to those less fortunate, I think that follows in generations, so they're apt to do it. Their parents help them do it, then they're apt to follow too. The one thing that when I'm ringing, what I'll do is somebody will be there ringing, and I said, watch this, and they'll watch, and I said, watch this man get out of a car, or this woman get out of a car, and as soon as you ring that bell, that wallet comes out. And just because they like to give them Salvation Army, because a lot of World War II veterans, Sally, I call her Sally for short, but helped out during their time when they come back from World War II and stuff. So it helps a lot of people across the board. And like I said, Richland County is a very giving county. I'm surprised. Last year I thought we were going to be a little short, but we ended up, when you come down to the wire, we did okay, you know. We can always do more, but we're thankful for what we get, and we can cover people that are in need.
You have some ringers that have been doing it for a long time. They are real ringers, but I think about some of the, Jean Burkett comes to mind.
Yeah, Jean Burkett,
over the years.
Who is, over the years, she's 96. I don't think she'll be ringing this year. She likes to chit-chat a lot when she's out there. So, but also another good ringer. I've had some that have passed away. Phyllis Keller was great. So I had them all the way from 95, 94 years old, all the way down to Boy Scout groups, 4-H groups, which are synonymous in helping to get blocks done, blocks of time done. So it follows the whole gamut of ringers. And the thing that always gets me, and it got a lot of the ringers too, well, the ones that look like they don't have a lot of money, they're the ones who give generously. Mm-hmm. Because some people realize, and I've had people tell me this when I'm ringing, that I help you because they help me, and which is great.
Yeah, that's why you do it. Thanks for all you do these years.
You're welcome. Thanks to Richland Center for Richland County for all they do.
J.B. Muller joining us, Salvation Army, the Red Kettle Campaign. And again, look for them on that first day. They'll be ringing on Friday, November 29th. November 29th and that weekend, Black Friday and also Saturday. This is The Morning Show from WRCO.